This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Coming out as LGBTQ is often a difficult conversation. First, as people are coming out to themselves, but then especially when talking to family and friends about it. There's often a fear of losing it all in order to be yourself. This can particularly be the case when one's faith says it's a sin to be gay or to be trans or queer, especially now as a sea of anti-LGBTQ laws sweep across the country. It can leave the parents of LGBTQ children in a difficult place. How do they square the beliefs of their faith with the reality of who their children are? That's a question many parents have had to reckon with, and a few of those parents and their families are the subject of a documentary. It's called Mama Bears, and it's about some parents who are willing to risk alienating the people they know in their lives and their faith communities for the sake of keeping their child safe and supporting who they are. Darisha Kai is the film's director. She is an Emmy Award winner based in Atlanta. Mama Bears is her second feature documentary. It was presented on Public Television's Independent Lens series, and it's available to stream now on the PBS website and apps. And if you're in Central Illinois, Illinois Public Media is presenting a screening of the film at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, 7 p.m. this coming Friday, June 30th. That's going to be followed by a panel discussion with local Mama Bears, LGBTQ community members, and audience questions. We'll have more information on that on our website. But for now, here to talk about the film is Darisha Kai. Darisha, welcome to The 21st Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
In order to make our schedules meet, I should say we taped this conversation last week. Because of that, we're not taking calls live, but you can always let us know what you think about what we talk about anytime by emailing talk@21stshow.org. I should also mention our conversation may touch on the subjects of depression and suicide. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, please reach out for help. The number nationwide is 988. That's 988. All right, Darisha, I guess the best way to start this is by way of example. One of the mama bears you focus on in the film is Kimberly Shapley, the mother of Kai Shapley, a trans girl. And we see Kimberly very openly supporting and affirming Kai in the film. But it was a long journey getting there for Kimberly, and one that had profound effects on both of them. Kai actually knew at a young age, I think it was 3, that she was a girl. And we have a clip, Kai talking about how Kimberly took that at first.
She wasn't acting like a Christian, and she was yelling and spanking me when I was acting like a girl and stuff, and playing with girl stuff and having girlfriends. And I was praying that she would know that I was a girl.
So we'll get more into the bigger themes there, but in the case of Kim and Kai, what changed? How did they get from that point to what we see in the film?
So the Kimberly's journey is fascinating to me because she was ultra conservative. She wasn't just a conservative Christian. She was a Tea Party Republican. And that journey is amazing for her to, she's come, you know, she's transformed. And love for her daughter is what transformed her. So Kai started, aside from declaring that she was female at the age of 3, she then at the age of 4, in her nightly prayers, she started asking to go live with Jesus and never come back here to earth. And so I think at some point it dawned on Kimberly, she was in school at the time, nursing school, and she was learning about the complexity of human gender and sexuality, and that transgenderism is actually a medical condition that with basis in science. And she also was learning about the potential suicide rate for trans kids being over 40%. And I think that combination of education, information, and then just firsthand observation of her child and her child wanting to leave the planet, right, is what changed her heart. She realized that the stakes were so high that she could lose Kai. And she decided she'd rather have a living trans daughter than a dead cisgender son.
How did you find your way to telling their story?
I read about them in the Huffington Post. There was an article about them and their fight for Kai to use the girls' bathroom in their hometown at the time, which was Pearland, Texas. And Kimberly mentioned the Mama Bears. And what's funny is initially I was not going to include them in the documentary because they had had a lot of exposure. And I thought, well, that story's been told. I'll find another mom with a trans kid, right? And I did. I interviewed a lot of moms. But because the ACLU put out a call for short documentaries about trans rights, and I knew that they were fighting for Kai's right to use the bathroom, the girls' bathroom. And so I pitched them, and ACLU commissioned a film, a short film about them that then went on to win an Emmy and 2 Webby Awards and, you know, has a life of its own on YouTube. You can find it if you look for Kai Shapley, a trans girl, it'll pop up. But yeah, so that after that, because the ACLU gave me the footage, they were in the film. But also once I met them to shoot the short, it was clear to me that they were amazing people and that Kai was an unstoppable force, and I had to include them in the film.
And were they receptive to talking with you and sharing their story? Were they reluctant at all?
They were not reluctant at all. One of the things I found about this particular community of mothers is that they understand the power of storytelling. And I think that might have to do with coming out of church and the whole idea of like your testimonial, the testimonial that you give in church is irrefutable. It's your experience. And so people have to listen. And so they understand the importance of sharing their journeys. And when I initially found the Mama Bears, I reached out, I sent an email to Liz Dyer, who runs one of the groups. And I said, you know, I'd like to see if any of these women would be willing to share their stories with me. And 25 moms responded, 25 women. And almost to a one, they said, even if you don't tell my story, thank you for sharing our stories. So that just showed me that they really understand story and the importance of story.
Absolutely. And we're going to share some more of those stories. We need to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Darisha Kai, who is the director and producer of the documentary, feature documentary, Mama Bears, part of the PBS Independent Lens series. And it's available to stream now online. And there will be a screening this coming Friday at the Virginia Theater in Champaign, 7 p.m. More information on that on our website, 21stshow.org. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Darisha Kai, who is the director of the film Mama Bears, a documentary about the parents, often from conservative or religious backgrounds, who and their family members who come out to them as gay or trans, and what that journey is like of loving their family members, also how they deal with their faith community and what that means for their lives going forward. Because we taped this show last week in order to make our schedules meet, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org. So there are several other people. We talked before the break a little bit about Kim and Kai Shapley, but there are other people you speak with in the film who had an innate sense of who they were, that they were gay at a young age, but they also had a religion that was telling them it was a sin. One of them is Parker Cunningham, who came out as gay to his mother at the age of 21. Let's hear a little bit from him.
I think a lot of gay people, gay children raised in the church, I mean, we read the Bible probably more than anyone else. You know, we're searching, we're praying for something. there's really not a person there for us, you know, as far as just, hey, you're okay. It instills in you that you're not welcome. It instills in you that God's love does have a limit.
So what does it take for these children to then be upfront with their parents, to not be afraid of that?
Well, it's a process, you know, coming out is a process. And I'll say that Parker finally put his foot down at 21, but he started trying to come out at a very young age and Sarah just wasn't hearing it. And that happens a lot from what I've heard and what I've experienced that, you know, parents are in denial. They don't want it to be true. And so they just deny it, you know, and the kids who are living at home, you know, they don't have their own income. They can't leave. So they just, you know, buckle down and conform to what their parents want them to be as much as they can. But when Parker turned 21, he was like, that's it, I'm done. And I think the other thing is that, you know, he fell in love then. And so then the stakes were higher for him. But that journey of coming out to your parents is frightening, unless you do it like Kai did at 3, you know, when you just don't understand the stakes and don't understand what could happen to you. But, you know, I think a lot of young LGBTQ plus kids get kicked out of their homes when they come out. I know a story of a guy who came out to his parents on the way home from his freshman year in college, and they pulled over to the side of the road and put him out and didn't see him for years. So, you know, the stakes are high for kids when they're coming out, especially if they know that their parents are not going to be receptive.
Well, and you mentioned Sarah, who is Parker's mother. What did it take for her to work through that and come to the, you know, this ultimately is a life-changing experience for her?
It's a life-changing experience, definitely, because what it requires is for you to examine everything you believed. And figure out why you believed it. Who told you that? Is it actually based in the Bible? What is the science behind your child's gender or sexuality? And you know, you have to educate yourself, and you have to dig deep, very deep. And there are also risks involved. You know, you may lose friends, you may lose your church, you may lose your partner. You know, the stakes can be high for parents as well. And so, one of the things that doing the film did for me is gave me more compassion towards parents who are in that position, more understanding and more compassion.
What did change for Sarah after Parker came out?
Well, one thing, he was adamant. He was no longer going to go back in the closet. And he basically told her, and this is in the film, you know, I sucked it up for 21 years being your son. I need you to suck it up and be my mom, right? He demanded that she deal with this, that she stop being in denial. And so she did all those things that I mentioned, you know, she did the soul searching. She did what Joseph Campbell calls the dark night of the soul. You know, she literally curled up in a fetal position for, I think he said it was like 2 months or something. And then she emerged from that cocoon, a different person, you know? And, you know, it's a process of education and learning who these people are, because I think that it's easy to talk about the LGBTQ community in the abstract when you don't know anyone. You know, if you live in a conservative bubble, and a lot of people live in these bubbles where everyone they know is like them, thinks like them, talks like them, believes as they do. And within those circles, it's not safe to be LGBTQ. So people can delude themselves into believing that they don't know anybody who's queer or who's trans or who's whatever, right? But that's not true, because we're everywhere. So where they are is in a place where it's just not okay for people to reveal themselves to you. And so you have a lot of people in hiding. But I think for Sarah, it was a combination of soul searching. She actually wrote a book called How We Sleep at Night about her journey. So if anybody's interested in that, they can find it on, I think she sells it on Amazon. But yeah, it's called How We Sleep at Night. So it was, you know, it's not an easy journey, but it's an important journey if you want your kid to live and thrive.
These are parents who are still lucky enough to have their children. And we hear many stories in the film of parents who lost their children because they didn't accept them. Say more about that and how the parents in the film learned from those experiences.
So at the heart of the film and at the heart of the Mama Bears is a tragic story of a family, Linda and Robert and Rob Robertson, who taught their son that it was not okay to be gay, that it was the greatest sin. And in doing that, and they sent him to conversion therapy. He went willingly because, you know, he wanted to please his family and he wanted to please God. But what that did is it taught him to hate himself. And he eventually wound up leaving home and getting on drugs and long story short, he eventually overdosed and died. And there's a moment in the film that no matter how many times I see this film, it breaks my heart and makes me cry still. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen it, because not only am I seeing it in the theaters now that I'm traveling with it, but I saw it in the editing room 50,000, 1,169 times. But Linda says, you know, what we had wished for, hoped for, and prayed for, that we would not have a gay son, came true. That just breaks my heart, that that's how far they had to go, because they didn't understand what the stakes were. They didn't understand what that kind of programming would do to their son, to his psychology, to his self-esteem, to his sense of identity, you know, that it would destroy him. And so she actually started the first support group for conservative Christian parents of LGBTQ plus kids. And it's grown into what it is now, which is over 30, 40,000 strong. I can't keep up with the number.
Yeah, it's a powerful story though, right? Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. So, but it's unfortunately not that uncommon.
Yeah. So even the parents who still have their children, though, they often lose so much, right? Some are ostracized from their church communities for affirming their kids and who they are. Let's listen to another clip. This is Kimberly from the documentary, where she talks about that.
I knew when I was choosing life for my kid, then the struggle became, how the hell do I walk this out? How am I going to tell my mom? How am I going to tell my sisters? They are never going to be okay with this. I already knew, because they're just like me. I started getting messages from people from my church that they don't know how I let the devil have me. People in my family started texting me that they wanted to call CPS and have my kids taken away from me. I had a text message from a relative saying, "We're trying to figure out how to have you committed. Your best friends that you have been through thick and thin with now suddenly believe that you're the enemy and that you're going to hell and you're taking your kids with you."
So obviously that sounds like a traumatizing experience. And yet some find community in the many other parents out there who are going through this and have chosen to support their LGBTQ children, right? They lose something, they gain something. How does that affect them?
Well, there's this concept of chosen family, right? That Kimberly talks about after she talks about all the people that she lost, which, you know, when you see it, it's devastating. You see that there's this photograph of her with this big clan. She comes from a clan. She's from Tennessee, and she's from a clan of people, you know, four or five generations strong. And she's the only person in that picture whose face you can see, because everybody else is out of her life. It can be very devastating, but the point of the Mama Bears group is that they are a community, they are family. And so they step in for each other to support each other on the journey to acceptance and to love, to unconditional love. And so they provide the support and the love that the family members who may step away and reject these people who have decided to love their children unconditionally, and they become chosen family. So that's something that happens a lot. And then, you know, people wind up often leaving their churches, and they have to find an affirming church, because, as Sarah put it, you know, how can I go to a church where my son's not welcome? Well, she couldn't. So she had to find someplace else to go. the stakes are high for the families as well.
So they find a chosen family, and many of them also, I mean, they weren't setting out to become activists, but circumstances push them that way, right? Kai's family got caught up in the bathroom bills that were sweeping the country some years ago. Sarah Cunningham, not only supports her community and her family, but the Free Mom Hugs tour. Say more about that.
So Sarah, once she finally got up out of the bed and decided, okay, I'm going to figure this out, right? I'm going to work it out. I am his mother. I'm going to still be his mother. So I got to figure this out. She went to Pride with him, and that kind of changed everything, because, you know, I think it's one thing to think about the LGBTQ community in the abstract, but it's another thing when you have skin in the game, and she had a child who was gay. So now she has skin in the game, and it's a whole different game when you're in it, right? Than when you're observing from the sidelines. And so she went to Pride, and she decided that, and she started meeting his friends and his community, right? His chosen family. and realizing and hearing these horror stories from the people that she was meeting. The next year she went and she just put a little handmade button that said free mom hugs. And she hugged people who, or she gave them a high five, people who wanted to have hugs. And so many people said to her, you know, I haven't hugged my mom in years. My mom doesn't speak to me. My dad doesn't speak to me. I haven't seen my family. You know, she just was hearing horror stories. And it inspired her to go on a tour, especially once President Trump was elected. She heard a lot of fear and anxiety in the LGBTQ community because he was talking about turning back the laws and overturning the marriage law that allowed LGBTQ plus people to marry. And so there was a lot of fear in the community. And she was like, what can I do? I can go with my banner that says, you know, free mom hugs and love, offer unconditional love to people. And that's actually when I met her. She was on her first Free Mom Hugs tour. She was coming to New York where I was living. I actually live in Atlanta now. I moved about five and a half years ago. But I was in New York City at the time. And she was coming to New York on her first Free Mom Hug tour, which was ending at Stonewall Inn. So I had to shoot with her. I didn't have any money, but I had to shoot with her. And luckily, when I told a good friend of mine, Scotch Ellis Loring, about it, he, being a bisexual man, burst into tears because when he came out to his mom, she had stopped speaking to him for a few years because she was a Jehovah's Witness. And so he understood instinctively how important the story could be. And he offered to pay for that first shoot. So that's how we got our start.
Hmm. So we've been talking about this idea of the sort of incompatibility between religious faith that a lot of these individuals and families felt with the reality of who they are. One of the takeaways from the films is that those things are not necessarily inherently incompatible, that you can still be a person of faith and support your child, no matter who they are, no matter the cost.
Right.
How do these families work to reconcile that?
Well, the person who embodies that the most in the film is Tanita Autry Lewis. She is a conservative Christian who still believes that homosexuality is a sin, but she loves her daughter unconditionally. And she's living proof that you can do that. You know, you can have that tension, right, in your relationship. I mean, you know, if you think about it, when you're married to someone, you don't agree with everything they are and everything they do and everything they say, but you still love them. I mean, assuming you have a loving marriage. But I think that it's just, they just learn to come to terms with the tension, right? And to understand that if you consider yourself a follower of Christ, Christ said that above all else, your job is to love God and love each other. So for these women, they've taken that to heart, that commandment, that commandment comes above all other commandments. And so their job is to love their children, right? And so however they work it out, it's different, you know, for every mom. It's different for every family, I think, right? But whatever it takes to get you to that point of understanding this deeper love, a lot of them say, you know, this journey with my child has made me a better Christian. I am doing this work because I'm a Christian, not in spite of the fact, because of my faith, not in spite of my faith, right? So they find a deeper faith, they find a more complex faith, but I think they find a faith that is grounded solidly in love.
The film is Mama Bears. The director is Darisha Kai. Thank you so much for being with us to share your film with us today on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having me and thank you for promoting the film. I deeply appreciate it.
And that's all the time we have today for the 21st Show. It's a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.